Okay. I'm number six, and this is TMP Live. And here's this week's monologue. I spent a lot of time lost in thought. Whether it be riding in the car or doing the dishes, I'm there, but my mind is elsewhere. I'm imagining things, thinking of new ways to help my friends. And other times, it's just me asking myself a series of questions. Questions about how our culture became what it is. Overhearing things throughout my day just starts the ball rolling. Sometimes it's from something said on AM Wake Up. And sometimes it's just a random commercial in the background of a barbershop. But focusing on the latter for this example, the commercial was about 401ks, and I thought to myself, how absurd the racket of taxation, i.e. theft, is in this country. I survived another tax season, and I hope you all did too. But now that April 15th has come and gone, baseball is back, and it's time to switch off for the summer for most folks who don't want anything to do with the system. And who could blame them? Because in their minds, and often in my own, I feel that there's no good in fighting it. Hold on there, partner. I haven't given up yet. But fighting the system from within probably isn't something that yours truly is capable of. There's a lot more acceptable people that can practice the tactic of entryism all they like. Me, I would stand out too quickly, because the mouth is connected to the crazy brain bone, folks. I strongly identify with George Carlin in the getting fired department. I shouldn't shame anyone for trying to change the system, because hell, if I could organize a rally or a protest, I'd probably be a really big target. And what good is that unless you want to be dead or given offers you can't refuse? Wind up being a puppet or maybe a martyr, unless I'm struck down by a random mass shooter's bullet at a grocery store. The prospects of tackling the system head on are that of tackling a moving vehicle in traffic. The people who run the operation here do not want our input. They don't want us to disrupt anything either. That's why they label anyone who could challenge their assertions of power an extremist. Growing up in the 90s, extreme anything was the rage. For me, extreme wrestling was a cultural experience. It bonded me with friends that I still have to this day over guys on loads of drugs, smashing things over each other's heads in a predetermined contest. Now, swap out the head bashing for seeing who's going to fund Israel harder this next election and tell me what's more retarded. Wrestling or elections? I'd opt for a barbed wire baseball bat to the groin if we didn't have to suffer through another election. Maybe take a bat to crotch bump so I could stop hearing commercials about how the government will give me a break on my taxes if I invest in the fucking stock market. The people that helped ruin this fucking place. Does that make me an extremist? What if the bat is on fire too? In trade for no more foreign wars. Too extreme for you? Well, I guess the SPLC can add me to the extreme files. Had to do the whistle. The tactic I prefer is subversion. Planting seeds in your head that will spawn for generations, that will grow roots in the cracks of the system and crumble it over time. To make a culture that turns away from the theft and violence of the state is nothing too extreme to imagine, nor to bring to fruition. All you have to do is spread the words. And that's this week's monologue. Drop a six in the chat if you feel me. And I am here with Mark Watson of Studio 8424. We'll have to discuss the origin of that and everything this evening. But Mark, great to be here with you, my friend. Thank you for
joining
number
us six. Absolutely. Really, I appreciate it. Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate that very much.
Well, Mark, I mean, we sort of bumped into each other through our mutual friends, and shout out to the Drizzle and Yona over at Grand Theft World Liberty Radio. Great shit over there, and we're proud to have them on TMP 24/7, as I'm sure, Mark, you're proud to help display their good works over at your channels too there on Pilled, which is an exciting new platform, I must say. I heard about it from Rider X or Rider Lee, there we go, of JFKX fame. I don't know why I always invert those things, but I heard about it from him a little while ago, and then I checked it out and I couldn't figure it out or how to get on it. So now I know.
To be fair,
I think I know how it works.
But. Let me, I need to make sure I clarify. I don't run Pilled. Pilled is a platform. And they were very gracious to me when Float ended. I needed a place to be 24/7, and they were very gracious. And didn't ask a lot of questions, and I got my stream key and often run up into the races. So myself being Studio 8424, that's kind of, you know, when you start your own small business and you think about having your own little garage, and used to live in an address, 8424, and I thought, okay, Studio 8424, it just kind of works. And we don't live at that address anymore, but the name stuck. And so we go with it. And so we're very proud to work with Pilled, and it's been over a year now. And I've been doing this 24/7 business since 2019. Actually, December 30th was my start of my first stream 24/7.
Nice, man. No, I'm glad to hear it, because Drizzle and I from Grand Theft World, Liberty Radio, we had a great discussion. And part of that was talking about a platform I've used for several years called Odyssey. And I had basically given up on Odyssey a few months ago after I got the letter that they were basically screwed. I thought that they were just going to not even have management or anybody really kind of piloting the ship anymore. So, and it was one of those platforms too, where, you know, and I'm glad to see, like, whenever I tuned into Studio 8424, you had a good amount of interaction there. You have people chatting, stuff like that. It's good to see people supporting those platforms and, like, actually using them, because I have been to so many great sounding alternatives that have just turned out to be duds. Like, it's just like, kind of like we were talking about off camera about going to that old neighborhood bar. It's like you hear about this hyped up new bar, right? Like, it's just, it shits off the wall there. Like, you got to go check it out. And then you get there, nobody's there. it's and sometimes
well, and you know that you meet people through social media, and one of the challenges with that is, well, you know, the last 4 years have just been like unprecedented. It's amazing how much of a change in our lives the last 4 years really is. But there's definitely your MAGA people, and there's definitely independent minded people, and your libertarian people. And I know the founder of Pilled makes 3D print stuff. So he's interested in that sort of thing. And so we have there's a good culture there for all kinds of different thought. You don't have to agree with everything. You know, I've got a friend of mine who's a good friend, and he's in Wisconsin. He's my 4 o'clock. His name's Steve, and he runs a show called All Hat No Cattle. And he is decidedly conservative, and so he's very pro-Trump. And so, you know, but I run that because it's freedom of speech, right? If I can't let somebody have a show and do something to demonstrate, you know, where we agree, where we disagree, and because I want to be able to say my piece. You know, I feel like if I extend that to people, and he's a good friend, he's a good guy. We went to see Jimmy Dore together, had a great time. But he knows I'm not a Trump supporter. And you'll find a lot of MAGA in all different kinds of social media. And, you know, if I've just not been drawn to that at all. For me, it's freedom is the issue. freedom is the answer. What's the question is the way that Ernie Hancock talks about it. He's a good friend also in Arizona. And he's my 9 o'clock Monday through Friday. So that's kind of the way I see it. I would like to see more programming that is liberty oriented, that drives people to think in different ways, gets them outside the box. And if, you know, I certainly want more control over what goes through a black rectangle. And so that's kind of why I started doing what I'm doing.
Well, I appreciate your approach there because, I mean, you don't get to that conversation by excluding people, right? Like, so right. Bringing your MAGA loving friends into the mix, like, and I certainly have those in my life too. In fact, I mean, whenever I first started doing this, I mean, John Henry and I, like, we probably, if we were given a choice, we probably would have leaned that direction more or less. Now, nowadays, like, I'm probably much further from that line than he was, but granted, but, you know, I still, like, he and I, when we talk, like, when he brings up Trump and things of that nature, like, sometimes, like, I have to stop myself. Remember, you know, I'm talking to one of my best friends in the world here. Like, mm-hmm. I can't just be like, oh, fucking Trump. You know, like, when right. you do that shit, you lose them. And, right. and you don't want to lose people. And I have lost people pretty close to me yeah. over those types of arguments in the past. Like, I'm a real asshole sometimes. But
yeah, we all have that, right? I mean, we've all been there.
I think it takes it to do this, doesn't it? Like to be that, you know, kind of driven to want to have people hear you. Yeah, I have an ego sometimes, and it gets hurt, and then I have arguments with people over shit that really is inconsequential to my relationship with them. But it's just because I feel so strongly that they are wrong.
Right.
And maybe yeah. can even prove it. But even if I had the smoking gun of proof in burning in my hands, that they would just ignore it anyway and minimize it and just be like, whatever. And then, you know, just change the subject to something. So
I'll tell you a secret about me. It's not a big secret, but it may inform you a little bit more clearly as to why. As you get to know me, why I am the way I am. I have, you know, Tam, my wife, she's my third wife. My first wife was a divorce, and my second wife passed away 2 months to her 41st birthday.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
And that was back in 2015. And so, love Mary very much. Absolutely. There's no good reason for a big pharma death, and she was on medication that wasn't properly controlled. And there was no blood level required, and she went toxic and she died. And I didn't know until, you know, like the same day after the fact, like I had no idea. So I had to go see her, you know, they're trying to give her the epi shots and stuff like that and call her dad and explain all that. And this is, you just don't want to go through something like that. And when you face death, you face your own death, because I believe that when you're married, to become one flesh. And so that was important to me. And that experience has been the single most jarring, single most tumultuous, difficult, tragic. I didn't know how many tears I could ever cry. Just, it's amazing. Nothing, everything flatlines compared. And so my wife Tam kind of picked me up and dusted me off, and she's been a godsend. And so when this thing happened with the scamdemic, this was three card Monty. This was a joke. This was, I can't believe people are falling for it. What the heck? Doesn't anybody pay attention? You know, what's going on? Why don't they see just how fake this all is? And I got that up front, and you know, I had seen Event 201 in 2019. And so my wife Tam, she's kind of a normie. Her background was very different. She played by the rules and she did all the right things and got her degrees and certifications and all the rest you're supposed to do. And being a female in a male-oriented career path, she had to dot her I's and cross her T's and be right all the time, because if she was wrong, it was going to be, you know, it wasn't going to go well for her. So she had to be right all the time. And she's sharp as a tack. And, you know, so she wanted to see the hospital. She wanted to go in Columbus, Ohio to the hospital curve and go to the level one trauma center. And the governor was on TV telling people that everyone was dying. And so we went to the hospital together, and me and my conspiracy hat and me knowing everything is a scam, and her, like, you know, in this wonder of what the heck's going on. And we come to the building and I'm there, okay, honey, let's go count screaming ambulances, because that's going to give us, you know, what's going on here. And we got to zero screaming ambulances. I mean, there was nothing at the hospital. And we filmed it, and the security guard tried to take our camera footage, tried to take the SD card. And that's when suddenly things that I would say made a lot more sense to her, and we were able to kind of be of one mind in a way that you couldn't possibly drag someone kicking and screaming to understand. So I'm very fortunate in that. But because there was no way this is all a big fraud. And my relationship with my wife is very important, just as, you know, marrying with me was very important. And so this, people have lost loved ones and they've not been able to tell their story. And they've been deleted from the internet. And they've been shunned by their friends, and they've had divorces. We know people, we're on the number right now, we're running a tally of the deaths after the jab in our life, and it's 42 right now. And that's the number of people that we know in our circle that they took the shot and they died. And
42?
That's, yes. And we're like, this is insane. This is absolutely insane. So I decided that the TV and the radio and the black rectangles were lying, and I wanted to do something about it. And I was watching the Odysseys and the YouTubes and the DLives and the other platforms and the content creators. And I didn't dip myself in the pool, if you will, as a content creator. I got into the engineering part of it, and I decided I would learn about running a station. And someone had been on a stream for 24 hours, but they stopped over on Float. And I said, well, shouldn't someone just stay up all the time? And I wasn't the first one to do a 24/7 stream on the internet, but I was the first one on Float. And then I encourage other people to join me and to do that. And now,
tell me, what happened to Float? And because I'm not that familiar with that, I don't know if people in the audience are familiar with it.
Float was a fledgling platform that kind of ended, I want to say now, over a year plus ago. They really tried to make a go of it in the competitive landscape. And I was not in the management of the platform, but I was friends with the people that ran it. And they just, you know, I mean, there were things they tried, and it just didn't happen the way that they wanted. And I think, you know, when things don't work out, there's a lot of finger pointing. And I decided not to do that. I decided that they made their go, and they tried, and they failed, and they have other things they've tried and succeeded at. And so I wasn't going to throw stones, but I had to find a place for myself where I was going to be 24/7. And that's where Build.net came through. And so I thank them. And I feature one of their ads at the top of the hour a lot. I'm going to be updating my own ad here pretty soon, but we're going to be creating a network clock, much like you have on the radio. And we're going to be featuring local ads and things like that, and national ads, different content creators to promote their shows. You know, I'm building all of this, not having a radio background, not having a huge content creator background, starting out as an engineer. How do I keep this thing up for 24 hours a day? There are a thousand things that can go wrong, and I have to find out what those are and then mitigate them and stay operational. And to the point now where I'm program director, and now I have to fill my time. And so, sorry, I know that kind of moves the conversation in different directions. All the same, you know.
No, we're allowed to go anywhere we want. This is our universe here, buddy. But I was going to say that you sort of started out in the reverse of how a lot of other people I've met doing this, though, where they start out as the content creator and then slowly learn how to produce. So, yes. I mean, it's good that you had that, but then also that collaborative mindset of wanting to work behind the scenes and help promote other people. Like, that's an admirable thing to do nowadays, because, you know, so much of what you see in the online space is about me, 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 you know, give me all the likes, give me all the views, give me all the shares. Like, that's understandable, because that's how the game works, right? But it's about the individual person doing it typically, not other people working to put over other people necessarily, at least when it comes into the independent type of market, I'll say.
Yeah.
So finding people that like yourself, finding people like Steve Poinkinen from AM Wake Up and Shelley Olmsted, you know, that produces for AM Wake Up, finding people like them that were willing to not only collaborate with me, but then also to promote me and my work. Like, that was a godsend. Like, that's just, you know, I did not expect to find people like that doing this. And I was not finding many people that were willing to do that for me at first.
Hey, let's do it, man. I'm all about it.
But yeah, that's the attitude. And like, one thing is, and I'm excited for this conversation that AM Wake Up's having Adam Curry on. And they're going to talk about like the value for value system and how we all sort of can share and even barter services from one another. Speaking of Shelley there, she has something going on called anartistcollective.com. There we go. I hope I didn't fuck it up this time, Shelley. But the idea there, though, is that we can work with each other, and, you know, funds are fungible. You know, we can always, you know, pay each other to do things. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes, like, it's actually best if we could just collaborate in different ways, where we can lend each other our certain sets of skills. People that are good at editing, people that are good at art, for instance. Like, I'm definitely in need of people of that variety. So, yeah, it's great that Shelley has the hookup there. But, you know, through TMP 24/7 too, like, I've gotten to meet other people that just, you know, have a knack for making content that I wouldn't even have thought to make. Like, we have a guy that goes out and he goes fishing and he captures this all on a GoPro. So hence the name Guy with a GoPro Fishing Show. So TMP 24/7, we got a fishing show. Like, we have people that make music videos. Shout out to Yona again there. We have Death to Tyrants, who also makes rather funny clips or like music videos and things of that nature. Like, we got Soundwave Promotions that does clips from around the internet, along with the Independent Review that does a longer format version of that. Yeah, Randy from Soundwave. Yeah, we got.
Yeah, he was on Flow. He's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And he puts up great clips from people like Sam Tripoli and others. So that's something that's catching, you know, when you see, you know, stuff from outside of like the TMP universe that we can bring in to it. Like, it's crossing over like so many things. And the exciting thing about it is that, you know, and I'm sure that you've experienced this too. I love the 24/7 format, because I grew up in the era where you just have like the TV on in the background. I don't know. I mean, it was just, I have to have some kind of background noise, because I've been to a lot of metal shows. So, you know, whenever the room is quiet, it's not quiet. It goes all the fucking time. So,
well, think about it like this. So you're 24/7, so you're on all the time. So you understand what it means.
Yes.
To me, that means you're not just a channel. I like to say the word station. If you were to take a 50,000 watt blowtorch and all the money it takes to run that, and the power and the limitations of that blowtorch to reach so much of the country, but not all of it, and the expenses and all the engineering and all the energy it takes to run that type of equipment. And we get to leverage the internet and we get to run a stream that stays up. And, you know, by gum, if something's up, it's gotta be up. If it goes down, I gotta put it right back up. There's always a technical thing, but
it's we a call them model. Gremlins. Yes, we call those gremlins here. Technical gremlins. Right.
So, but that station has value because you say to somebody, I've been 24/7 since 2019, they know you're serious. Like, okay, there's hobbies, and then there's this guy's on something to keep him up 24/7 and he's gonna keep doing it, and I should take advantage of that. And to the point now where we have off-grid power and solar and batteries, and like, we're not going down.
That excites me because I love, I am a tech nerd. I love that shit. It is mind blowing that to talk to somebody in this sphere that understands like what that could be as far as like independence. Like imagine if you could generate your own feeds, generate your own power, spread your own signal, work within a mesh network, even locally, and just like build up comms networks that way. I think we have Steve coming in hot, delivering now, Captain Stevens.
What up, man?
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
How's it going? Kept hearing my name. I got about a half an hour or so. I thought I'd hop in and say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Welcome.
Mark, nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. Good to see you.
I can't resist gassing up Steve, especially when he's wearing the Stoner Doom van shirt.
I just wore my logo. I was like, you know.
Gas this is band, also baby. One of my logos, but yeah.
There you go.
Overcompensate on the artwork because we just talked all day.
That's fantastic.
But Steve, an exciting world to be in. Imagine if AM Wake Up and TMP could generate our own power source, generate our own signal, and spread through our own network all of the different programs and all the various podcasts that we associate with.
What do you realistically need for that?
You need this
with video, like with video, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the power source, like how much juice a day are you cranking out for that?
Well, okay. So theoretically, our panels, we have 28 panels, 415 watts per panel. So we can theoretically generate on a 6-hour high solar day, blue sky, 69,720 watts of power, or 69 kilowatts, 69.7 kilowatts. If we have high solar for 6 hours. Now we don't always get that. And the way the system works is it will give you what you need. So you have something called a load, and that is what your house uses. Well, after the batteries are charged, whatever your load is what it's going to limit itself to as far as giving you the energy. So if you want to capture more energy, have more batteries. And so I would say in your decision, number one, if you know somebody who's good with electrical work, if you know somebody who knows his way around circuits and can actually put a panel up, that person, give him all the beer and pizza he wants and, you know, money, whatever it is to do it. Well, that's awesome because some people don't have that skill. I didn't have that skill. And so I couldn't DIY this operation. You're going to pay a lot more money if you don't DIY. But I would say the one thing about this is don't skimp on the batteries. Do as much you can, much research you can on batteries. We went with Home Grid. I'd like to talk to the company. Maybe I can get them to be a nationwide sponsor. We'll find out. But when you have the batteries, that's your key, because when the sun goes down, you want power to go ahead and have. When the sun doesn't shine, you're going to get less wattage in the sky coming down on your panels. You want to have more batteries. So that's the thing. You always find out after you do your install, oh, I wish I had a few more panels or a few more batteries. And it's just the way it works. Sharpen your pencil, do the calculations best you can. You will still want more batteries. I almost guarantee it. But it's such a rewarding thing.
With the idea of setting up a mesh network that provides video, from what I've been able to find, like, you can get just simple transponders that are as cheap as like $30 that will do simple text. So to be able to have something that does audio would probably be the next step in that evolution, but then video beyond that, because you'd have to send it somehow, like in a packet or whatever. That would probably be the easiest way to do it than trying to just get it to send all at like one type of quality level. So to send it as a package and then unpack it someplace else would be the deal. But you could do it with very low CPU. Like that's something that nowadays, like as advanced as some of the technology, especially with video cards and all that, you shouldn't have much of a problem with CPU or anything.
But. Right. So I'm thinking that we definitely want to always have alternative methods of delivering your signal. Whatever stream you have, that's going to work sometimes. What if they take the bandwidth down? What if AT&T decides to go down in your area? Or what if Comcast or whoever is delivering your network? Or what if Starlink, you know, doesn't have a satellite nearby or something like that?
What if you're part of a mass protest and AT&T wants to shut down your cell phone signal? That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Like to be able to broadcast in an environment like that. Like we've heard of Tim Pool's Danger Doom van, right?
Oh yeah.
His mobile setup that he touted for years and then never really used all that much. But you know, having something like that though, like a Ninja Turtles outfitted type of van with, like, of course, the swing out firing seat. Steve's all about that kind of life.
Wow. That's funny.
But, you know, like having something like that that's outfitted to go to, say, something like the Third Light Carnival and set up a mesh network to try something like that out. Like, I would love to see an Anarcho-Polco maybe try something like that out, too, where we can get like this technology down there and field test it in an area where you have a massive amount of people that are all going to be able to use it to try and see if they can break it, essentially, too, to see what it takes to kind of broadcast a signal like this out there to people during those times. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're in that state where, like, we're getting to where the Warriors was, that great 70s action movie, I guess you could call it. If I only had two bottles,
that was a romance. Six, that was a love story.
My apologies.
By the way, I want to say, I want to give you guys props, by the way, for the name of your the name of your channel, the New Prisoners, because I watch The Prisoner every year at least once, maybe twice, present. And especially the 2009 version with Jim Caviezel and Ian McKellen, but also I've watched the older ones. And people don't understand, like, they really have to watch that show. Like, and I know it's a small footprint of people that are really clued in on that. And then it was like a long time ago. Even the new version was 2009. And but that's just fantastic.
I can thank the band Iron Maiden for that, because the ones that turned me on to the series, and then I watched the series while being locked up during COVID, and did that hit me. It was like, damn, wow, I really do feel like I'm trapped on an island with brainwashed people and I can't escape. Like, no matter what I do, this technological apocalypse is coming. I don't have many friends that even realize what's going on, let alone like it would be able to mount any sort of resistance to this. All of my worldly possessions and online presence and all of my abilities to go out and stamp my foot in whatever would be considered the public square is pretty much can be erased, like with just like a Thanos snap. You know, there's just, I it really hit me hard. And by the time that I finally got into a place where I could build a studio, the first thing I wanted to do is jump online and just get into the fucking intellectual mosh pit and start fucking people up.
That was I'll recommend it. That's fantastic. I want to make a recommendation. Maybe you've heard of the show. It's called 1990. It's a BBC series. Edward Woodward is the lead on that. And the late Edward Woodward, he's passed away now. And he used to be the Equalizer.
Okay.
The real Equalizer, not this fake thing going on CBS right now. So that series is, the position of the series is 1984 has happened. It's 6 years later and life after 1984. And so you have this whole other ethos going on. The episode that I love, my favorite, is called Non-Citizen. Okay. But the whole series is worth the watch, all the seasons. You know, BBC, they kind of do short sessions or short seasons, whatever. But Non-Citizen, when you watch that, you'd be like, oh, I want to watch the whole thing. So it's, definitely recommend that. But that's similar genre. If you like The Prisoner, you would probably like that a lot. And, whenever I would talk to people about what's going on in the world, I would recommend they watch that episode because it was so spot on. And of course, The Prisoner. And I also play Monopoly every day at 3 o'clock p.m. Monopoly, you probably seen the video on the internet. They have a version that's like, what if it's New Zealand or some other language or whatever. But anyway, it's English and it's 45 minutes. And I play that almost without fail every day, 3 in the morning, 3 at night, or at least 3 p.m. And then sometimes there'll be a program that I play that will kind of preempt the schedule. But generally speaking, that program is on it. And the reason I do that is because you get tired of telling people all the time what's going on. You're like, if you don't know by now, just, you know, I run a channel, I run a station, and it's available and you can watch or you can listen and just tune in. And because you get to a point where it's like, okay, are they going to bother? Are you going to, are they interested enough? If I can get someone to spend 45 minutes and watch that, now I can have a conversation with them and it means something, you know, because we're on a sort of a similar path together. So that's kind of what I do.
In order to break that cycle, though, it takes a lot of provocation. And what I've found is that, you know, the ways through the shadow banning is by exploiting certain things. So because of, say, for Steve and I's cases on Twitter, as I call it now, we are so shadow banned there that we discovered the other day that when I tag Slow News Day, that Steve's not even getting notifications for that at this point. Like, we're double shadow banned. This is like Animal House fucking shit up in here. This is ridiculous.
It's double secret probation on the entire internet, Six.
Yeah, it is. Well, so look at it this way. We are running stations. We're 24/7. I tell people I am transatlantic. Why am I transatlantic? Why am I worldwide? The reason I'm worldwide is because I feature content from people who are in other parts of the world. You know, Josh the Boss, he's over there. He does a WTFR, which is not what you think it is. It's We Think Freely Radio, you know, whatever, but WTFR. And so whenever I am, Steve is unavailable for his All Hat No Cattle, I fill in on WTFR schedule in that time slot. And so I feel like bringing someone from London, UK, into my channel and broadcasting them worldwide to anyone who's listening. And it's like I tell people, look, if you just get in your car with your cell phone and you Bluetooth into your car stereo, and all you're doing on your phone is going to radio8424.com and you Bluetooth, boom, radio station, you know, and TV station, same way, your phone, screen share to your flat screen smart TV, boom, TV station. It's that simple. And when you do it, that something in your mind just is like, at least for me, it really clicked because I guess I'm old school. And the idea that I could have my own TV station in just the way that I do it and be my own program director, my own engineer, you know, that's just, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I just figure it out?
Dealing with a platform that's not giving you a bunch of shit about being
right
on it. Like there's so much fuckery that goes on with these platforms, man, that I mean, just from the ones that are just like we talked about earlier, the ones that are just deader than dead when you go there, or now that now they want money for stuff that they never wanted money for, or they're not going to pay you money, Steve, for things that they used to pay you money for after you build their damn platform for them. You know, that kind of thing.
I'll tell you how you deal with that. My opinion, and it's my opinion, I am off-platform monetized. And that means I really don't want to participate in platform monetization because that's how they get you. Mm. I mean, if you look at how these platforms have been sewn up, even DLive, small as they are, PayPal said, you know, as IRS agents, PayPal, you're not going to get paid. We're not going to pay anybody unless they earn $51 a month. Well, 51 times 12 is... you know, $612 a year, boom, IRS 1099 form, whatever, miscellaneous. So it's like, why am I going to mess with that? Why can't I just have someone, you know, send me some crypto, you know, here's my QR code, whatever it is, and just do it that way and have a direct one-to-one relationship with somebody who wants to go ahead and contribute, advertise, whatever.
Well, and that's what a testament to the value for value system. I mean, Steve, you operate monthly on a month to month basis with AM Wake Up on that value system.
And it's scary. But it hasn't failed. And that's post COVID. You know what I mean? Right. Like when people came in and they had, you know, a little bit of the Trump bucks and a little bit of the Biden bucks, they were a little bit more loose with their pocket change. But even coming out of that, where barely anybody's got a job, and the people that do have to have six of them, you know, we've still been able to carry it through every month. By hooker, I would love for it to be larger because I would love to be able to like pay Tease for his time on Wednesdays. You know what I mean? Like that'd be great. We're not there yet, but it's gonna happen. And I think the show itself is about to level up just significantly based on the last couple of days alone.
Right. It's all about affiliates, getting exposure. I mean, your program could be on 10 different stations simultaneously, or 10 different keys simultaneously every hour of the day, whether it's live or RSS feed, podcast. The more exposure you have, and you got your QR code or some other means of providing information on your screen, it passes through to the affiliate. And the next thing you know, you've got relationships wherever all of those stations broadcast. And so, I mean, I'm interested in morning programming as well as everything else. I got 24/7. So,
yeah. And I mean, just on a you know, for me anyway, like the value for value thing is the only thing I can do because I can't do advertising. I can't do an ad read, Mark. I sound like a fucking goon. Like I sound like a disingenuous piece of shit, and that's everything I hate about, you know. Could you imagine sitting there for like a significant portion of your week going, do you have problems with your dick? Well, so do I. Eat this pill and you can, you know, I just shoot me, man. I go back to fucking, I'll go back to being a carpenter. I will. Like, fuck, you know, no.
I need a timestamp on that. I need to clip that out just so I can get like a couple Blue Chew commercials and just put that. Yeah.
Hit your B key. It'll create a live stream for you inside StreamYard. You can go back and look at it later.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So yeah, we offer promos. So I'll take somebody will do a program and I feature it on my station. Like, okay, well, if you'll give me a 30-second or 60-second promo of your program, then what I will do is I will feature that promotion much like commercial space, but I would just go ahead and play the promotion of the show throughout the day. And it's as I fit it into the schedule. And sometimes it'll be like on a, it'll be random or it'll be on a schedule. But anyway, my goal is to promote the programs as they come up.
Well, and paying for ads space is a bitch. Like, you know, just having to pay for any type of marketing like that, like just to get your videos shown on a legit channel. Like
that's... Well, I want my content creators to actually get exposure. See, the content creator is kind of simpatico. Like it's a relationship with the station. So if I can get the programs that I feature on my channel to actually do their promotion and deliver me a 30-second or 60-second spot, even if somebody else reads it, I'll play that spot to promote the airtime of the program. If you're going to be live at 4 o'clock, then okay, maybe at noon and at 1 and at 2 or sometime in those hours, they will play to remind people, hey, it's coming up. You know, I'm not a radio guy by trade, but I know, and we all listen to radio. We grew up. We know how this works. You got to let people know the shows are coming up. So for me, it's like, let's get the content creators the exposure they need so that the shows are listened to and viewed. And then people interact with the show and they build their own community that way and gain exposure. And if I can get people to take the key that they have, you know, most people, you know, you and I, we understand 24/7. But the average person who's got a YouTube or some other type of a channel somewhere, you know, they're on for 1, 2, 3 hours. And otherwise that key is dormant. And I'm like, hey, look, you've got, let's say, the rest of the day worth of time that you could be demonstrating. You could have other programming. You could replay your live show a couple, 2 or 3 times, you know, if you divide your day into 8-hour blocks. And then you could have additional time that is unfulfilled because you don't know what to put there. Well, guess what? I'm 24/7 and me and other choices can fill your day. Well, and that's what I'm trying to create.
And it could be replicated across many channels.
Yes.
So it's much harder to contain. Like getting information out there to more people that reach different types of folks that are going to appeal to different types of folks. Like, you know, everyone's channel being able to replicate this in the future, like for us to be able to do this on AM Wake Up and simulcast this is a huge, huge advance for TMP because of the size of the audience that AM Wake Up has. So thank you again, Steve.
Right.
But, you know, also everyone else that, you know, that we're affiliated with that has channels, if we can set up 24/7 channels on each and every one of their channels that run all of our different stuff. Like we're filling in that time, we're dominating that time. We're literally pit bossing. Like we're taking over, like sort of the live streaming function on many of these applications because they all prioritize live streaming. And if you're live streaming more, like you're at the top of the queue, you're right where the eyeballs go. You're in that center shelf type of space at the store where just that's where people's eyeballs go. So, I mean, it makes sense. And with that, too, we should thank a contributor to the Value for Value system. Thank you, Monkeys Walkers, for the $2. And I know what that's like to not have much until payday. So, you know, shouts to you for that. Much love.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic.
We said they're cheating on work, too. Congratulations. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. We encourage you to cheat on work with us, whether it's at night or in the morning.
Fuck the man.
Hey, when you get a chance, do me a favor, please, if you're within the sound of my voice, go into your car. Your car has Bluetooth, car stereo, and use your phone and Bluetooth and listen to this program right now. Like I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that I do. And if I get people to experience what it is to hear what we are doing on their radio, I can tell them, hey, I'm in your car. You don't even know it. And it's easy to get to. All you do is take your phone and Bluetooth it in your car stereo and boom. Now, it's on your phone anywhere your phone is. But if I can get them to think, oh, Bluetooth on their car stereo instead of XM or Sirius.
Well, yeah, because people are just used to being fed, through these certain means of distribution. And by us being able to make the means of distribution more independent, well, we're sort of being able to take control of it.
I mean, it took people 5 or 6 years to get used to Sirius or XM radio. Took them about that long to get used to that. It's been 8 years since, or really 9 years since podcasting or YouTube as a platform really started becoming a more accepted medium. And now it's the mainstream. Now it is.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be too much of a leap to get people to get used to in stereo, hearing hearing their shows. And that's partially why ours is in the morning, and it's a complete and total ripoff of Opie and Anthony.
Sure.
Homage. It's an homage if you give credit. It's a ripoff if you don't. The fucking internet needs that radio show. It does. The internet is worse off. Discourse is worse off because Opie and Anthony and Jim Norton and Patrice O'Neill don't exist as that unit anymore. The whole planet has suffered because Patrice O'Neill isn't with us. And there's gotta be a handful of people that have realized this and want to do everything within their power to try and, not resurrect, but just sort of, I don't know, it try to embody that kind of energy, because it's so missing and so needed. And yeah, more people should realize this complete and total truth.
Because it was provocative, blasphemous, even. Like, it just it shocked people because it was supposed to. I love the fact that you include that clip of Patrice in the AM Wake Up opener, which I think Randy did that from Soundwave Promotions.
Yeah,
shout out to Randy again.
Hell yeah, Randy's awesome.
Fuck yeah. But Patrice just saying that, and we've talked about this on past shows, Steve, of just like that art of being provocative, where so much of what embodies popular anything, especially, and it irks me with music and particularly in the heavy genres when it gets like this, but the worst thing that you can be sometimes is provocative because of the things that you have to say to be provocative. Because then you get labeled as something. It's like I talked about in the monologue. You get labeled an extremist. You get labeled an anti-vaxxer. You get labeled a rioter, potentially. There's all different sorts of labels that people will place upon you to try and shut you down. And that's what gets us to this censorship level, too. Like, we're all placed in a box. We're all being watched. We're all probably being put in little lists and categories and files and folders in a bunch of different servers as we speak.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we don't have free will. I refuse to believe that we don't have the ability to overcome the system, even if we have to cheat to break it.
Well, is it really cheating, though? I mean, look, I'm doing something that I didn't think I'd be doing. If you had come to me a few, years ago, and said, you know what, I want you to start your own radio and TV station. Or I need you to go drive 20,000 miles across the country in a float van and with a rap van to promote this social network. Or, I would have been like, what are you smoking? Run a TV station? What? Now, I'm not stopping. Like, the idea of being offline is like, why don't you cut my arm off? I'm not going to do that. I'm running a service because the truth has to get out. There's got to be a way. I may not tell all the truth. I may not be the best person for the job, but these black rectangles are lying to us every single day. And it doesn't matter what size they are, an obelisk, whether it's a small one in your phone, your pocket, or whether it's a big one on your wall, it's lying to you. And these things have too much control. Well, you got to get control. The way to get control is to be on the other end of that obelisk and send that signal through. That's your signal. That's something you can control. Because if you don't, someone else has got control. Someone else is sending a signal, and it's going into their brains. You know,
and Steve's, pardon me, but Steve did share something about how you can generate such power here. And I wanted to share that before we got too late in the show. But I'm going to pull this up on screen share real quick here.
Yeah, if you live anywhere near water, just add this to your passive battery charging routine, and you will always, always, always have like two whole fully charged battery banks at all times.
And as Brother Yona would say, to find out, fuck around.
That's funny.
We definitely don't have to watch all 10 minutes of this or anything like that, but it's, you know.
But this,
so this time I'll go into more detail and cover the entire process, including how to rewire the stator and make a custom charge controller.
Bookmark this and freaking...
There are many ways to power this homemade generator.
Adding it to this week's source list on Substack.
Anything that will spin the shaft fast enough.
Oh, yeah. Can we go back and watch him spin the shaft again, Steve? Hold on 1 second.
If you want to, you can add a funky little bass line in your head if you like, too.
Spin the shaft. Okay. All right. I'll stop that. Just getting dirty now. All right. But, yeah, thanks for that, Steve. That's definitely going on this week's source list again on Substack. Also, celebrate a little milestone there on Substack. Thank you to all the new subscribers. Really appreciate that. I think my friend Zoe had something to do with that. Shout out to Zoe for going into a public speaking engagement, Steve. Like, that's something that not a lot of human beings would probably voluntarily agree to, let alone be able to pull off in any sort of good way. And you guys got some public speaking engagements coming up here in July, methinks. Called July, the Carnival.
July 5th and 6th in Pueblo, Colorado at the Blowback Gallery. We're going to be having a couple of days of live music and fun conversations at the Third Eye Carnival. Bring out your normie friends. Come see us. We're having a meeting this weekend. We're going to determine what the ridiculously low ticket price is going to be. And yeah, we'll have everything up and out and completed poster and all that kind of stuff ready to go for Monday. But currently it's like 6 bands. Me, Charlie Robinson, Scott Armstrong, potentially Ryan Christian, more than likely Ryan Christian, Lindsey Sharman from Rogue Ways and Day Zero, boy howdy, it's gonna be fun. I'm hoping Chris comes up for that. He should be beaming in. Much merriment will be made.
Well, I hope that we can get trans out of Walmart Afghanistan. Walmart Afghanistan.
Is that mm-hmm. Walmart Afghanistan resides? That's pretty good.
Walmart Afghanistan. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Going with that. But
that's good.
Yeah, it'd be great to get the whole band together up there. That'd be fantastic. Maybe even have to ship Brother Tom Cooper somehow from Oregon down there too.
We're talking about doing a nice little day hike in the San Luis Mountains, which is right close by. Awesome little Rocky Mountain views up that way. My girl can come now. I'm gonna try and dip out to a hot springs for a minute. I would like to go shoot guns one day. If anybody can help facilitate that, let's go do that. Let's make some freaking noise. Have a nice little ammunition therapy session. That would be solid.
Gun church. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
I mean, guns in the hot springs. Who's to say it can't go down?
But it keeps the weirdos away.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
the instant hippie be gone.
That's I did want to give a shout out to Zoe though. This was the event that she spoke at yesterday. You will find an audio video version of that that we tried to do. It didn't turn out great, but we got it. So hopefully better next time. We might have to coordinate a different way of recording these types of things, but excited that we could do stuff like that, though. Like on TMP, we can live stream different events. Like to be able to live stream more events like this, I mean, that excites me, because like I do think that these types of things should be preserved, just like for posterity, for history, but then also to help promote events like this. Like I'm excited, Steve, that you know we're starting to see people from the independent media community starting to do events, like starting to get people together live in person, because I do believe
that don't have anything to do with Clay Clark.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like we right. just, yeah. That, cause, yeah. We don't have to do it under like the, some
I'm not, guise sorry.
Of religion or even like in under the.
Wait, no, we got to bring General Flynn out. We got to bring him out. Six. If General Flynn's not there, we can't say the holy blessing and Q won't come down and bring back JFK Jr. What is wrong with you?
Oh my gosh. That's
I forgot about the JFK Jr. rule. All right. Marking that down. Don't forget about the wow. JFK Jr. rule.
That's fantastic.
But I mean, see, when I first started doing this, that's what I was running into. Those were the types of people that I was bumping into, listening to a lot of different channels and gathering a lot of different things from a lot of different, you know, types of channels too. And, you know, like Mark, you mentioned Tim Truth on your last episode. Like that was one of the channels I was listening to during COVID. Yeah. David Knight was huge for
awesome.
COVID. And I love the fact that every Tuesday is TLAF Tuesday, because I was handing out scraps of paper with my shitty handwriting scribbled Last American Vagabond on it, handing it to people.
Yeah.
And I would
meet
in grocery stores or whatever. Like you'd have to wear a mask. You're both looking at each other like, oh, this fucking sucks. I'm like, check out this channel. This does fucking suck. Like this is all bullshit. Like
it is
finding people that you can spread it like that to. Like that was, I hadn't even thought about doing that shit since like wanting to be in a band in high school and wanting to hand out.
Right. Flyers.
And now I think we're working on a street team to have people hand out flyers, because
yeah,
will work. Like it's engaging, because
it's activism.
See somebody, like look them in the face and be like, here, check this thing out.
Right. What do you think about this? And people are afraid. People are afraid to step out. They're afraid to speak their mind. Oh, the other thing about speech, if you watch Jimmy Dore, he's always got something to say. And then he has to say, oh, it's safe and effective and all this. And I'm like, because he has compelled speech. Like there's the free speech that is, hey, speak your mind. And then there's, oh, I don't want to say this, but you make me say this.
Well, he subverts it. I would to defend, you know, because he's not here to defend. I would say that Jimmy subverts it by pointing out that he is doing that, though. Like he kind of
makes a joke of it.
Yes, he makes a joke of it that he's doing that.
But I think that it demonstrates that there are people out there that aren't doing that. That they're doing it because they're paid to, and he's showing other people, hopefully, that they would finally realize, hey, look, these people, there's a grift. They're paid to say these things. This is what's going on. And Jimmy is showing it up. And that's why I go to his shows. And that's why I recommend. I even bought tickets to say, you know, hey, you know, Steve, let's go. He's in Wisconsin. And we went to a Jimmy Dore show in Indianapolis. It was a blast. And they are a class act. I mean, it really, if you can go to see Jimmy Dore, I recommend it. He's a good comedian.
Dude, the last time that I saw Jimmy was in Vegas, and we were hanging out in his room a little bit after the show, and he forgot the Vegas hotel room windows don't open. And fucking we roasted a fucking very large joint in there. And then they were like, oh.
Whoops.
Well, I guess we're losing this deposit.
Wow. Shit,
you know. Anyway, let's go down to the casino for a little bit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's I remember funny. You talking about Airbnb creeping on you to try and catch you smoking weed. Sons of bitches.
Dude, they're weird. They're and I just had I had a very pleasant Airbnb experience last week. So they're not all terrible. But
have you left them a good rating?
I still haven't done a review yet. Yeah.
I'm fucking terrible with that shit.
But I for the first time in like a couple of years, man, I was just looking through the Airbnb account that I had and fucking I'd forgot all about just how psycho this woman was at this place that we stayed in Sacramento for. I think it was a medical freedom rally or get rid of Gavin Newsom rally, something like that. I don't know, dude. Adam Kokesh was there. It was a lot of fun. And shout out to Adam, wherever you are, my friend. I miss your face, but not your smell.
That's hilarious.
That's something only a friend could say to another.
My dude, the last time he came to the studio in Vegas on the bus, on his freaking, you know, freedom bus, after the Reno Libertarian Convention, and he was like, I mean, literally like 6 days in the saddle. My dude was ripe. He didn't have shoes on.
It's like sweet but sour, like when you smell it. Like spoiled
that's
milk.
Horrible.
Like the spoiled milk smell. I know that's
so bad.
That's been, the crust smell.
Yeah. Left Arizona, drove up to the convention, partied for like 3 days, and on his way back down, stopped by the studio. It was Veterans Day, and we did a podcast. It was fun as shit, but yeah, bro.
I don't understand how people can go like that. Like, how do you not have the chaptest ass in the world, like, after 3 days? Like, how? Explain to me.
Because your body's natural oils take over. Okay. Six. It's
like a beaver gland type of thing.
Prevents chafing. Yes, exactly like a beaver gland. It smells very similar, too. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Woodsy, folks.
But yeah, the Airbnb lady was fucking nuts, dude. Like, Ring camera. We're outside.
Ring camera.
Yeah. And we're outside. And you're allowed to smoke outside, but they were somehow yelling at us about, yeah, it was fucking, ugh, whatever. I don't know. This dude was great, though. Shout out to Javi and his fantastic Airbnb house.
Hell yeah. No, I'm glad you got to relax and have a good time for your birthday and everything, especially. I'm sure it was a good celebration. Much love to be had. And then,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so moving along, though, I did pull something that I wanted to throw to you guys that I brought up a little bit in the monologue. And this is about the Southern Poverty Law Center, something that's used often in putting together smear articles, including people like we just talked about, like Jimmy Dore and others. We're trying to lump people into extremist categories and such. So I pulled this one from Headline USA. This is from Luis Cornelio, I think. Yes, it is. All right. And this is Southern Poverty Law Center adds libs of TikTok to infamous extremist files. Now, we have friends that have just joined TikTok not too long ago with Grand Theft World Liberty Radio. And so far, the hate on them has begun. But I mean, libs of TikTok, though, is famous for Twitter, which is perplexing. It just with the names, or Twatter, as it's now known. Sorry. But with libs of TikTok, like, they've driven a lot of the news stories that have been on a shit ton of podcasts, to be frank. I mean, they are a podcast generating content provider there at libs of TikTok. Like, you could just go on for days, and it's easy. Is it low hanging fruit, Steve?
Yes, it is the lowest possible hanging fruit because they're picking the most easy targets on the goddamn internet. And look, everybody likes a checkout every now and then, right? And sometimes you just got to be like, really, dude, this is where we are as a society right now. All right. Okay. They don't make Jim Carrey movies anymore. This is what we get, you know. Thank you.
That's funny,
Mark. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
But I mean, yeah, it really is, dude. It's the dumb and dumber of the internet. And that's okay. It's okay. It's small dose. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, could the same be said? I mean, this is the same thing as like a Florida man, but just, I think, lives of TikTok. The reason why it's the same type of meme worthy type of things, like this, what the Onion used to be.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this is Alex Stein's show without the set.
Yeah. Didn't he cry on your show one time?
He did. As a matter of fact, and I believe those two have been genuine tears. And then he blew up immediately afterwards and hasn't talked to any of us since.
He seems.
What was he crying about?
His mom had passed away, in all likelihood due to a jab related thing. And so yeah no, I mean, it was a very serious thing. It was I 100% believe that to have been a real moment, and he's not the only person to have broke down into tears on the show before. Scott Ritter broke down in tears on the show before. That was hectic. That was wild, watching a UN weapons inspector cry on your show.
That's weird. I can't. A weapons inspector?
Former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter.
Oh, yes, sir. Wait. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The one that Joe Biden called Scotty Boy. It was like, what do you mean? Well, all over the non-existent weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Right.
Yeah. And then they went on to completely ruin the dude's life, and he did a lot to help. So, and,
Steve, we got word from the chat from Brother Tom that wrong thing. There we go. That his son may be the hookup you need.
Rad.
For your firearms experience.
Rad.
There you go.
Love to meet your kid, Tom.
Yeah. I would love to have the space to say, hey, come and have a firing range. I don't have that. It's hard to find a good firing range that you can just show up at in the country and, you know, have at it, that type of thing.
At least in Nevada, you can just drive out to BLM land. And if there's a handful of different places where there's already targets out, just a couple of roads, you know, stuff like that. Less so in California, but usually if you're on somebody's property and you're enough in the woods, that's still just how neighbors say hi.
Right. Hmm. Right. That's fantastic. What was I going to say? There was something about, you mentioned limits of TikTok. They kind of straddle the range when it comes to the conservative genre versus the freedom genre per se. I mean, I guess I would say there's like a whole different track of, I run into different people that are on different wavelengths, if you will, in different groups. And it seems like Libs of TikTok is more like in your conservative Twitter type, if you would, if that makes sense. But they've done a lot of neat things that, you know, just like the Babylon Bee and stuff like that. But I like to get more focused into the liberty mindset that says it's not about government permission, it's about individual human rights. And I think that some people, they don't take that view. There's like, well, we have a Second Amendment. I said, well, what if the Second Amendment wasn't there? Then what? Are you done? No, you have an individual right to bear arms And it's not about the Second Amendment. It's about the fact that you have the right to self-defense. And it doesn't matter what's on a government document. It matters what is an individual human right. And that's where I, you know, that's why I see a difference in some respects when I look at some of the talent online. I want to build relationships with people who understand the difference. That matters to me a great deal. If that makes sense to you guys.
Well, Mark, you seem like a very empathetic person. Part of that, and like going back to where this conversation sort of started, you talked about a tragic loss, and I've talked to many different types of people about this, but I think that getting into this sort of work and these types of shows, this type of broadcasting, whatever, that often trauma or something tragic would lead to it, similar to how it was in the X-Men animated series back in the 90s, going back to that thing that we talked about last week.
It was for me, your life is full of priorities. You're a type A personality. You're up early in the morning and there are 1,000 things matter to you. Mm. And then you have a tragedy of all tragedies. Suddenly you have a much shorter list of things that matter to you.
Yeah.
Like a really short list of things that really matter to you.
It focuses.
And, oh man, like a laser. Yep. Oh, it's crazy. And it's hard to relate because people are not prepared to deal with death. They aren't. It's not part of life. Like, you know, death is death and life is life, and they don't want to think about it. Let me tell you, we've been thrown into this dealing with death business, and I didn't want it. I tell people that I was walking down figuratively speaking in my mind, I was down a lit hallway and there's a door and the door swings out and I got my arm on the door handle and I'm leaning and it's the abyss and it's the stars and I'm leaning out over the stars and the abyss and the void of space. And suddenly it's like, the gravitation, the whole thing, it's like that pull, that everything about going down and out and losing your life, because I mean, that's death. And to me, it was like, okay, I want to live. I'm going to pick myself back up. I'm going to turn around and walk back into the lit hallway and close the door behind me. People, they don't have that life experience, man. They don't have to go through that. And so I did, you know, I had to face that. And so I think about things differently than people do. I'm kind of like a 90 degrees. You just turn it a little bit different and look at it differently than everybody else.
Oh yeah, turning the portrait upside down and telling everybody else, look at it this way.
Right.
You know,
that's what it is. I'm not perfect. I got my mistakes. You know, I got challenges like everybody else does, but yeah, it's a different life.
Well, that's why finding other people, I think, is important, and just in life in general. Like finding other people to be a support system for you. Like it is a perfect template to how to do things in a group or in a culture or subculture, whatever you want to call us, you know. But
yeah,
you know, what you do with the people closest to you in your life and how you copy and replicate those relationships, like being collaborative, you know, trying to do things in good nature to help others.
Yeah. And genuine, you know. Yeah.
And have a
like
good
you
reward.
Really want to help.
Yeah. I mean, and, behavior.
Because you want it to work. You want to be of value. You want people to say thanks for helping out. Yeah. And get the attaboy once in a while. But even if you don't get the attaboy, you still want to help sometimes. You just do.
No, but
if you want a 24/7 station, you don't know how to do it, I will give you my experience. It might not be all the answers you're looking for, but I'll tell you at least what I know.
Yeah, you'd be selfish not to, right? Like, that's the way I've always looked at those types of ideas. Like, it even kind of expanded my thoughts on what should be considered property when it comes to property rights and intellectual property rights. So having like the ability to broadcast these shows across multiple networks and not giving a shit about copyright infringement or anything like that. Like, please take these shows, like you chop them up, make clips of them. Of course, like if you want to send us those clips too, you could do that at the new prisoner number 6 at protonmail.com. You can always donate to us monthly. I mean, we have a value for value type system here too, where you can be a contributor. You can call us, you know, a collaborative effort of sorts here too, where you can give us rather 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 a month. If you want to collaborate and work with TMP and help fund this that way, if you want to lend your time to do clips, or if you want to do creative projects. And one thing that I'll throw out there, because I just got the green light for it from Tease, because Steve, you mentioned you'd love to pay Tease. We could do a conspiracy synergy telethon, because we could run a 24/7 loop of conspiracy synergy for people to check out, plus additional content that we could add by doing a show and bringing a panel on to talk about conspiracy synergy and its purpose.
We're going to be doing something similar for AM Wake Up around the end of May.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So
that is.
That's that parallel thinking, man. Always on the same shit.
I wanted to do it at the end of this month, and I just got too busy, too behind to organize it. So I'm kicking it back 6 weeks where it'll be a little bit easier.
If it's going to be a legit telethon, though, we have to get Chris to dress up as Jerry Lewis.
That's funny.
Chris, we'll make sure.
I hope he has the Jerry Lewis voice in him. He's got many voices in him. He's got the RFK Jr. voice down. But
That's his only voice. Yeah.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys have some fun. That's awesome. you know, people should laugh. We're going through some hell right now in life and all of us, and we need to laugh.
Well, that's the thing, man. I've seen, like, you watch all these different channels. You see how these guys are, like, pulling their hair out and, like, eating it on camera to try and get views. Like, they're just either putting everything that they can in the headlines of their and stuff in the descriptions to just get people to think that tomorrow is the day that the world ends. I gave more of a shit about owing on my taxes than I did the eclipse.
Oh, I didn't care about taxes either. I was like...
the talk about world enders, I was just like, oh God, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to handle this.
People still want to pay corporations. They still think the United States is a country. I'm at the point now where it's like the United States is a corporation, just like Walmart. You walk into Walmart, you go to Walmart tomorrow and you just walk in. Okay, people at Walmart, it's funny, I get it. Go to the center of Walmart, look around. Are you an illegal alien of Walmart? Are you a citizen of Walmart? Do you owe the debts of Walmart because you are in the middle of Walmart? The answer is no.
You are actually a Walmart employee now, and nobody told you, because you have to ring your own groceries and pay for it now.
Yeah, right. They make you to play. So I'm like, okay, you are not a illegal alien of Walmart. You are not a citizen of Walmart. You don't owe the debts of Walmart. It's the same way with the United States Corporation.
Welcome to Walmart, Afghanistan, folks. We're going to need Walmart Afghanistan t-shirts. We'll hit up Ryan.
That's fantastic.
Shout out to Ryan at Big Frog, Oregon.
People still have patriotism, and it's like, dude, it's fraud. All fraud. And that's horrible, because people died thinking that they were that there was this American way and there was this country, and it's just a corporation and it's just fraud.
I'm sorry, Steve. I just keep going like to the comedy bit of can we get the t-shirt to say "Welcome to Walmart, Afghanistan, vote or die."
Right. Yeah. Right. It's Puff Daddy dressed down like a greeter. But yes, he's holding a pistol.
Oh yeah. Oh, where's the B button? Clipping that. Yes. All right.
Definitely.
Got you. I do.
Excellent.
You guys are awesome.
Well, Mark, before we wrap up, because we're getting on to the 1 a.m. Eastern time hour and should be getting late. Why don't you tell folks where they can find you? You got a couple different channels out there. Like you got the radio one and you got the studio one. Just to kind of.
So I'm actually right now, I'm building a website. So right now it's going to be studio424.com is okay. The website. But right now, until I've actually delivered that website, studio8424.com is the TV station. And then radio8424.com is the radio station. And so if you want to watch the stream, you go to studio8424.com. And if you want to listen, you go to radio8424.com. And then I can build other channels. And I encourage people who actually have keys to actually have a radio station alongside because you want to be able to be listened to as well as on your regular TV stream. I made sure that the radio station was data friendly. So that meant that you could listen and not blow your data plan.
Yeah, basically. And not everyone's in the same type of neighborhood whenever it comes to internet's signal. We found that out.
Right.
Well, a lot of things, right, Steve?
It's just so shit. But there will be an actual website for Studio for 24 that will replace where we're going to right now. We're going straight to the build keys. And if there's ever anything issue coming up with it, I have to make sure I take care of it. But the point is, that's where they're at. And you can watch on your, if you do a screen share on your flat screen TV, you can do that. Or you can, on your radio, you can just Bluetooth it in your car. And we're 24/7. And I value that being off grid, being 24/7, being free speech, unlicensed, permissionless, all these things come to mind. Transatlantic, worldwide, you know, we're just all the things they don't want. They don't want reach. Well, I have reach. You know, they don't want people to think that they can do these things. I can do these things. And if somebody tries to stop me, well, I have my individual right of self-defense. You know, and so I take it seriously. This is my business. This is what I do. It's who I am. Mm-hmm. So, and if I have any challenges with my stream, I take care of it. I'm on top of it. If I have a challenge, I fix it. I'm a tech guy, so that's what I do. But I like to make friends. And if you guys want to have a program on the station, let's figure it out. You know, no problem.
I definitely like the collaborative mindset that you have, and can appreciate like where you're coming from with wanting to bring people together, and glad that we all came together tonight to
TNP
hang out and talk about these things. So we're gonna wrap it up, folks, but make sure to check out AM Wake Up tomorrow morning. Steve, what do you got on the plate for AM Wake Up tomorrow, man?
T. Snyder is through for Revolution Wednesday, and we're gonna be speaking with the Podfather, Adam Curry. Very much looking forward to that. My tinfoil hat episode dropped this morning. Had a nice little conversation with my buddy Sam and XG, Johnny Woodard. I feel hella bad because the last time she was on AM Wake Up, Pasta like dragged her onto the show after like an 18-hour flight. And she was really out of sorts. And so I haven't hit her up again, but it's been long enough. I probably can. Yeah. Should probably do that. But yeah, I love Cynthia McKinney, dude. I do. She's one of my favorite people. You're not my supervisor. get off of this and talk to my girl for a little bit, and I'll go to bed when I damn well feel like it.
Right.
He is an authoritative fellow for not being a fan of authority, that Drizzle.
I mean, I appreciate you running up flagpole, see if anybody salutes, but man, just no.
Wow.
Much love to everybody in the chat tonight. Thank you all for being here. Definitely check out AM Wake Up in the morning. It's going to be 10 a.m. on the eastern side, 7 a.m. on the western side. I think I did that right. Yeah. Spaces, times, and such. And okay. Then also, Mark, you got anything going on with the channel tomorrow besides running 24/7, of course? Like any big new shows premiering or anything going on?
Well, a couple of things I like to promote. Every weekday, Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock, we bring in Shannon Joy out of New York, and we broadcast her. And then, of course, Steve is at 4 o'clock. Other times in between, we'll feature podcasts and other types of programming. We eventually go to Free Talk Live at 7 o'clock. We do, you may have heard of the Free Thought Project. We feature them frequently. And you know Monica Perez. We've got her in the evenings, some nights at 10 o'clock p.m. And even Jimmy Dore, we bring him in on his RSS feed. So there's a lot of different live and podcast programming enjoyed. And we're building more. So Grand Theft World on the weekends, on the Sunday night overnight. And then, of course, we just did the Liberty Radio as well on Friday night, and I think sometimes they do Saturdays as well. So oh, yeah. We're bringing more in, and like I say, we're going to figure out how to put TNP in the list. And you know, I've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so I've got a calendar fill, and every channel is that much more time to fill. And we're building more channels, so and stations, I should say, and I'm excited about that.
Well, with that, we're going to build multiple Death Stars. Sounds great. All right. Well,
hey guys, thank you very much. I appreciate your time tonight.
Good to meet you, man.
Yeah, let's reconvene at another time there, Mark, and talk more. And then for the rest of you out there listening, come see me next Tuesday night, 11:30 p.m. Go into about 1 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes we run a little bit over, but and then tune in for Saturday Night Anarchy on TNP, hosted by Tom Cooper. And then over at the AM Wake Up channels, you also, tomorrow night, you have Poppy's Field Project, which you can also find on TMP 24/7. And then Friday, our good friend Ryan Graham from the Independent Review, of which you can also find on TMP 24/7. And then maybe Chris will do a show this Sunday, and we'll get that on TMP 24/7 too. You can find Rain Out Raincast now too. So yeah, we're bringing people together, man. It's going to be great.
One more thing, I'll make a shout out real quick. The Day After is a new podcast, just starting out, 6 o'clock on Monday nights. Yeah. And I get to be part of that. So plug into that.
All right. And check out this week's source list. You'll find links to all these things. So until we meet again and until we are free, we are the New Prisoners.
All right. Thanks, guys.